It's been so long, I don't remember if this is an actual story or if it was something that was said to make a point. This mother talked to her child and says, "I've got to run a few errands, and I want you to watch the soup. The soup is on the stove. Watch when it boils over, and I'll be back in a little while." So a while later, the mother comes back. House is full of smoke and says, "I thought I told you to watch when the soup boiled over." She says, "Well, Mom, I did. It boiled over at 4:12. So you get the idea there was maybe more to this watch than just take care of the time. Well, the Bible tells us to watch. The disciples were told to watch. And the Bible has much to say about watching. Well, what can we learn from this? Watch for what? Why watch? Well, let's review some well-known scriptures and be inspired, encouraged, and admonished to watch. First, I'll define what is meant by watch. And there were two different words for watch that I used. One is very prevalent. The other one was only used once. There are other words for watch, but these were the ones I concentrated on. The first one is to keep awake, to watch, be vigilant. And surprisingly enough, in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." When he says, "Be sober, be vigilant," vigilant is the same word as is used for watch in other parts of the Bible. Now, it's based on another word, which is the idea of collecting one's faculties or focusing to awaken, to rouse, like from sleeping, sitting, or lying down. This word, watch, is based on this. The other word for watch is to be sleepless. And in Vine's expository on this word, it says to chase sleep. Now, if you're sleepy and you want to chase sleep, what do you do? You don't just lie there, you get up, you move around, you look, you see things, like watching a tornado at night. You know, if you have word that there's a tornado in your neighborhood, it doesn't matter what time of the night it is, how tired you are, you will get up and watch for that tornado to see if it's coming, see if it's going, see if it's missing you, or what is happening. You will chase sleep to get up and watch that tornado. And the Bible shows that watching is important. We can go to Luke 12:37 to begin. Luke 12, we're going to start in verse 35. Luke 12 and verse 35, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately." They don't have to rouse themselves out of a sleep. They can open immediately. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down at food and will come and serve them." And what is interesting is, "And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants." That's the middle of the night. "And this you know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed suffered his house to be broken through. Be you therefore ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not." So he says to watch. We don't know. We are to watch. Revelation 16:15, another reason to watch. He gives us many reasons. I just picked out three. Revelation 16 and verse 15. Revelation 16:15, "Behold, I come as a thief." In other words, unexpectedly. "Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Keeps his garments. What garments would a Christian have? Well, it'd be clothed in righteousness. And if you're watching, you can be clothed in righteousness. And we'll go to Luke 21:36. Back in Luke for our third example. Luke 21:36. I'll start in 35. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. He says, watch, then you can be accounted worthy to escape. Watch, pray, and stand before the Son of Man. Blessed, keep your garments. Now, he told the disciples to watch. We're going to spend a lot of time in Matthew 26. I'm trying to keep this so we don't turn to too many scriptures and still get the point across. It is very, very important to do what he says. And he says many times to watch. He told his disciples to watch. Matthew 26, verse 38. I'm going to start there and then back up. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. He said to watch with me. This was Peter, James, and John. Verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But he told all the disciples, this was Peter, James, and John, back in verse 36. Then came Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. He didn't say, take a quick nap, I'm going to be gone for a little while. He said, sit here while I go and pray. Now, one thing I'm going to concentrate on a lot is, they were warned many times before this that something was coming. Something was coming. So we're going to start Matthew 26, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He told them that I will be crucified. Let's go down to verse 7. And there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat eating. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? This ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. The poor you always have with you, but me you do not have always. For she has poured this ointment on my body. She did it for my burial. That's pretty plain language. Okay, let's go to verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. One shall betray me. Let's go to verse 31. This is all in the discourse of that evening. Verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. This night, all would be scattered. Verse 32, but after I am risen again, I will go with you to Galilee. Do you see what he's saying here? He's telling them something is going to happen. It's going to happen tonight. I will be dead. I will rise again. They didn't get it. It was like it just went past. Verse 34. Peter was telling them that he would never be offended, but Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto you that this night, before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times. This night. So in verse 36, they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, sit here. Don't sleep. Don't take a nap. And he took with him Peter, James, and John. And in verse 38, he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. Watch with me. Watch for what? What were they to watch for? He said to watch. What were they to watch for? Was it maybe to not be surrounded by it or surprised by the events that were about to take place? I think maybe that was one of the things he was talking about. And in verse 40, and he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. And in verse 41, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Temptation, temptation of what? Maybe it was the weakness of the flesh and the temptation to sleep and maybe to be surprised. The temptation to not be watching. And in verse 45, he came to his disciples, and this was after the third time, and said to them, sleep on now and take your rest. And there's a colon there. So there's a pause. Take your rest. We'll pass the rest of that, and I'll make a point with that a little bit later. Verse 47. And while he yet spoke, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. I don't know what you had pictured about that evening when they came to take Jesus away, to capture him and take him to the chief priests and Pharisees. I had always thought, you know, 20, 25 people came and took Jesus and carried him away. When you get to studying that, and this was very interesting for me, it says in another place it was a band of men. In the New King James, it says a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees. Here he says a great multitude. In Mark, he says a great multitude from the chief priests, scribes, and elders. Okay, a detachment of soldiers or a detachment of troops was 1/10 of a legion. How many troops are in a legion? Well, it varied from 3,000 to 6,000. That being the holy day time in Jerusalem, a legion could have easily been 6,000 to prevent any trouble that could occur with all those people being gathered together. A tenth of a legion would have been 300 to 600 foot soldiers. I had never thought of that. To me, it's a miracle that any of the apostles got away. It was a miracle and a fulfillment of prophecy. Because 300 to 600 could build a human wall with their shields and weapons totally around a dozen people. Easily. It was not just a motley crew coming across. Well, it had been a full and active day. They were full of good food. It was a peaceful night, it was comfortable, late, the breeze rustling the leaves above you. It's warm in that cloak, a little cool breeze, and thinking everything is okay. It's so peaceful here. You just go to sleep. They did not watch as they were told to do. They went to sleep. And they did not realize that the peaceful atmosphere was about to be suddenly shattered. They were not ready for this event. They were not ready for it because they were all sleeping and not watching. all of them. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Kidron Valley is between them and Jerusalem. Anybody that was alert at all could have seen all those torches, all those lanterns coming across that wide valley and know something was up. They would have seen it. That would be a highly unusual activity. Even one who was alert and watching could have warned all the rest. Just one out of the 11. But there was one out of 12. Jesus was watching. He was the only one. And that's where I'll go back to verse 45. Then he came to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. And there would be a pause. And I would imagine that about the time the troops got there, he would wake them up and say, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me. He was the one that was watching. I think about the 10 virgins. It said they all slumbered and slept. Yet the cry came out to them, the bridegroom comes. Somebody was watching. Even though they were all sleeping, somebody was watching. Somebody was doing his job. And I'll tell you, it's the hardest to watch when things seem to be at peace around us. It's just like everything is so good. There are no worries. That's when it's the hardest to watch, because you're not up to where your senses are keenly looking for anything that's going wrong, because everything looks like it's going right. That's when it's the hardest to watch. Well, those were the disciples. What are we told to watch for? This comes to us. There is another account in Mark. Mark 13 is where we'll go. We'll spend some time there. This is in Mark 13. Now, this is a companion to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 3, the disciples came to him and asked what would be the sign of his coming and the end of the world. And his discourse told of his coming and the end of the world. Yes, there are events that take place through that whole interim of time from him until the end of the world. But he was specifically talking to them what to watch for before the end of the world. Mark 13 is another part of this. It's again a companion. It's a little more concise. I decided to use this. So Mark 13 tells what to watch for in the end times. And he covers many subjects, family matters, church matters, civil matters. We're going to go to verse 5. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. So the first thing he tells us is to watch for someone deceiving us. Mark 13, verse 7. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be you not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end is not yet. So we need to watch for our mind being troubled by the things going on around us. If your mind is that troubled, you're lacking the faith and trusting God and understanding what He's got going on. So we have to watch for being troubled. Verse 9. But take heed yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. So take heed to yourselves. Watch yourselves. These things are going to happen. How are you going to handle these events? What are you going to do? How are you going to watch yourself? And the word for heed, I looked it up, means to look at. So you could easily say, but look at yourselves. For all these things will take place, and you need to be watching out for yourself. What is your mind going to be? And verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. So we need to watch that that is being done. It might be something that we're going to be doing individually. We do that now, but it might be something that is a little more important then, that the gospel will be published, preached by us individually with our examples that Mr. Ellis talked about earlier. That would be one way the gospel must be published. There's something to watch for. Well, there's family betrayal involved in this. Verse 12. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. That's family betrayal. Verse 13, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Maybe what we need to do there is watch to endure in the face of hate. There will be much hate. I can see it increasing all the time. How are we going to endure? What do we watch for in our lives to endure among that hate? Something to watch for. Verse 14, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that reads understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. We need to be watching for that abomination of desolation. I don't know what it is. We know what it was for Daniel in some ways, but we don't know what it is, but it's something to watch for. Something that will not catch us unawares because we know to watch for something happening that doesn't look right. Verse 15 and 16. I talked about this here a few weeks ago. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter into it, to take anything out of the house. And let him that's in the field not turn back again to take up his garment. We need to watch that we are not so attached to our physical lives, our physical comfort, our physical peace, our physical nice things in life, securities, that we wouldn't obey God when he says, this is what I want you to do. You need to leave all that behind. And it's so easy to get so attached to these temporary little physical things that we have. You need to always be watching for that. Always be ready to leave. And in verse 22, now we got religious deception. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take you heed, behold, I have foretold you all these. I looked up seduced, and in a normal Webster's dictionary, it means to tempt. To try and seduce somebody is to tempt them to do something that is not right. But when I looked it up in Strong's Concordance, it means to lead astray. To be seduced is to be led astray. He says, do not be led astray. Yeah, do not be led astray by the signs and the wonders that will be done. We need to be watching for these things. Now let's go to verse 29. And so you in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at the door. He gave us a whole list of things to be watching for. We need to be watching for those. Verse 33, take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Take heed, watch and pray. This is the other place where he used a different word for watch, which means to be sleepless or to chase sleep. When he says, in verse 33, take you heed, watch and pray. You might have to put up with some sleepless nights to be praying and to be watching and be looking for some of these things. But we don't want to be lulled to sleep, especially spiritually. And in verse 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. Far journey, you know, that could be many days of, I'll be back between May the 1st and May the 15th or something like that. A far journey could be very variable. He's taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Well, who is the porter? The porter was the one who took care of the, who goes in and out of the house. And you know, the word for porter is a watcher. The porter is a watcher. It's also a gate warden. And verse 35, watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, whether it's at evening, at midnight, or the cock crowing, or in the morning. Those were the four Roman watches at night. So he's saying the Son of Man can come back, or this householder can come back in the middle of the night, when you would least expect him. You would think he would come in the daytime, but he could come any time. And we're told to watch for him coming at any time. And it's the four watches of the night. Verse 37. And what I say unto you, he's saying to the disciples, I say to all, watch. If we're not careful, we can miss all his warnings that he just gave us in this one chapter and be just as asleep as all of his disciples were when the peace of that night was suddenly and unexpectedly shattered because none of them was awake and watching. It could so easily happen to all of us. They were told. They were warned. We are told, we are warned to watch for certain things. Are we, and I'm going to lump myself in with this, are we sleeping and only dreaming that we're watching? I don't know about you, but I have some pretty vivid dreams where I wake up and what am I doing here? I was right there doing this thing. That vivid. Now, am I dreaming that vividly that I'm watching? Do I really think I'm watching? I hope so. And again, we're in a time of peace. This land has had a tremendous time of peace. Much of the world has. God's church is able to meet in peace in so much of the world. Very difficult to maintain your keen awareness and be watching when things are that peaceful. But we have to. It was so peaceful for the disciples that night. Just get cozied up next to this tree and I'll pray. Jesus is praying, I'll pray. And it's so nice in this cloak and boy, it's so good here. And pretty soon you go to sleep. It's easy for us to do that when things are going so well. What are we to learn from all the references of things to watch for in the last days? There are things that we need to learn. He has given us many things to watch for, but what are we to learn? Every one of these that I give you is gleaned from scriptures. A scripture says basically word for word what I give you. So if you study, watch, be awake, be aware, things like that, you will find these in the scriptures. The first thing I gleaned is we have to keep awake. That's in there. We have to keep awake. We need to be vigilant about watching. We cannot slack up on watching. Just because things are going well and have been for a long time, we cannot slack up on it. We need to continue in prayer and watch in prayer. Why would that be? One of the things he told his disciples was, pray that you enter not into temptation. If you're praying fervently and trying to stay close to our Creator, that's one way that you will be watching. You won't be sleeping, you'll be praying. You'll be maintaining this relationship that we need to have with our Creator. Continue in prayer, watch in prayer. He that watches is blessed. That's something to learn from it. We are to watch for deception and to remember the truth we have been taught. Watch for deception. He told us in here that there would be the false prophets and false Christs and to show signs and wonders to seduce. We have to watch for that. And I don't necessarily think this is some world religion doing this. I think it's going to be some people who claim to be a part of the Church of God. I mean, we've had false prophets in the Church of God for who knows how long. I was at the feast one year when this guy came up and, "I've got a prophecy to tell you." And they guided him off the stage. It may not be the world religion is the only place where we will get false prophets, false Christs. We have to watch for that. It can come in so easily. Some little tweak of a scripture here and there, and pretty soon you can have the Bible saying something it's not. That is something to always watch for. I also gleaned, always watch. Remember what it said in Luke 21, watch and pray always. That's the one where he says watch as in you might need to be sleepless, but watch and pray always. And another one was watch and stand fast in the faith. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. There is a help we have for watching. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to start in verse 1. He is addressing the people and saying, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Unexpected. "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness." Spiritually, whether it's day or night, we are not in darkness. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief," the day of the Lord. "But you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Watch and be sober. And he tells us that we don't know when the day of the Lord is. In verse 3, he says it'll be a time of perceived peace. They'll say peace and safety. Well, that's a time when we really need to be watching. Verse 4, "You, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief." Why? Because we're watching. Why? Because we have help. "You are all the children of light." I was doing some studying on this, and the Holy Spirit is associated with this. The Holy Spirit enlightens. It lights our path. The Holy Spirit helps us to see clearly, whether it is day or night. It helps us because it reveals, the light of the Spirit, Holy Spirit will reveal the underlying events that will shatter that perception of peace. That is our help. We can watch, but the Holy Spirit helps guide us into what to watch for. And I had references in 1 and 2 Corinthians about the Holy Spirit revealing things to us. Verse 6, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We are to be watchful. The Holy Spirit can help us be watchful. The disciples did not watch. They went to sleep. I'm not picking on the disciples. I'm just stating what happened. They went to sleep and did not watch, did not see the events coming. And it was very obvious if there had been one person awake, would have seen that mass of light come across the Kidron Valley towards them. He said, hey, Lord, something unusual is going on here. Any idea what it is? But not one was awake enough to do it. Not one. There's much more to the subject of watch. There are great blessings for watching. There are great surprises, woes, and pain for not watching. And the events can come upon you suddenly and unexpectedly if we're not watching. So are we going to be like the child and just take note of what is happening? Ah, yeah, the soup boiled over at 12. Or maybe sleep right through it. Are we going to be actively and diligently watching and preparing for what we're told is going to take place, like the soup is going to boil over? The day of the Lord is coming. Are we going to be watching, actively and diligently watching and preparing? We've been warned and commanded. Will we watch? Let's go back to Mark 13. That's for the concluding scripture, Mark 13. Mark 13, verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. He says he is like this. He's gone for a while, but you don't know when he's coming back. You watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house comes. It could be any time of the night, but he is coming. Lest coming, suddenly, he finds you sleeping. But what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.